Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Wood Talk. Now here are three guys who have chiseled good looks in their joinery. Mark, Shannon, and Matt.
All right, it's show number 564. And on today's show, we're talking about balancing a home shop with a workshop. Is that right? Does that make sense the way I wrote that? Maybe not. I don't know. We'll get there. You'll find out what it's all about.
I'm curious to see what it is we're talking about here.
Yeah. Also, a Black Friday recap, if there's anything to talk about there, and a whole bunch of kickback from you. Clearly, we took the easy way out on this
show.
I
love this. Let's do this all the time.
Yeah, but before we get to that, we want to let you know that Wood Talk is brought to you by Rockler. Rockler's been helping customers create with confidence for over 65 years. Rockler's giving away a $250 gift card to one lucky Wood Talk listener. Enter for your chance to win before December 31st at rockler.com/woodtalk.
And if you would like to help support the show, you can do so by going to patreon.com/woodtalk and signing up to become a patron of the show. This time we're thanking Kevin Delaney, Kyle Florick, and Bobby C.
Nice.
Not to be confused with Bob from last time.
That's right. That was just the Bob. This is Bobby C.
Bobby C.
All right. Well, thanks for that, you people. We always appreciate the support.
All right.
We're just jump right into the kickback, Shannon. So you want to take that first one?
Let's do it. Who is this from? Wow. This is Alex from Alex H. Alex says, being the young lad I am, I've recently started seeing everybody's Spotify wrap-ups. Oh, good Lord, yes. Soon will be the Strava wrap-ups. That's maybe just in my world. And the Peloton wrap-ups. Those should be along shortly, too. Right? Seriously, love Peloton. Hate people who use Peloton.
Mm-hmm. Lately,
anyway. Anyway, so says the guy with 4,000 rides. Yeah, I hate myself.
Yep, people like you, Shannon.
I'm not posting my Peloton wrap-ups.
You're the problem.
Part of the problem.
Or my Spotify wrap-ups. So anyway, Alex says, I've been seeing the Spotify wrap-ups on various stories as though people would care. See? He's with us. So I decided to take a peek at mine and send it to you. From what I can gather, I'd be using the internet wrong if I didn't operate without being at least on some level hypocritical. So I probably logged a deep breath. Similar number of hours on the lumber industry update, as I always have a podcast going while at work. I expect compensation for my pain and suffering, or I'll hire Matt's wife. That means I'll for sure. I was going to say something. Was that Matt's wife walking by the camera?
Yes,
right? When she said that.
There she goes.
Back to the show. Let's see. Oh, no.
Oh, here come the tools. And there goes Pancake.
Oh, no.
Let's just look at this. It says, he listened for 26,769 minutes of Wood Talk.
That's
a top 0.5% fan. So, yeah. Also, since they sponsored the show, let's talk about this. It says, a note from his recent Rockler experience. He flew out to Washington State to do some backpacking in the mountains. Never heard of Rockler prior to Wood Talk. You hear that, Rockler? That's him saying that. So I was super excited to be driving by the Seattle Rockler on my way from the airport. Being a solo trek, I decided to grab some carving blocks and a knife, having never carved before. Despite me spending under $30 and mentioning from being out of state, the Rockler employee offered to rip and crosscut my basswood blanks to spoon-sized chunks. This was not as though they had just got done with a class. Oh no, this superhero had to completely pull out the table saw, move projects aside, drop the plastic sheeting, cut up $12 worth of wood I just purchased, all just to save me from going caveman with a handsaw, knowing full well I may never go back to that store. To summarize, Rockler. Wood Talk got me there, but their unreasonably good customer service and products will keep me going. Hmm. Well, look at that. Well
that
said, Alex
awesome
H.
Awesome to hear.
Well said. Now I know why Mark put this in there. Good stuff.
Yeah, and also that that's pretty intense. 26,769 minutes.
That's a lot.
He's in the top 0.5 percentile for listeners.
That's nuts.
I think we found our guy.
There's someone
above
him.
Thank you for listening, Alex. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening to Lumber Update too, by the way, even though it was only for 4 minutes.
Right.
He didn't post that GIF, so I'm just going to assume it was 4 minutes.
Well, the funny thing is we had another person send in their recap from Spotify. It wasn't even close. I mean, it was impressive until you see this. And then this is on a whole different level. So we had a few people.
Whoever you were was excited. Yeah, but Alex
folks
wins.
Sharing that with us.
So there, the gauntlet is thrown down, folks. 26,769. If you can beat that, we want to hear from you.
Ah, you beat that, we'll send you something. How about that? I don't know. I feel like we should send Alex something too, an apology letter.
We could send him Matt.
You could send him Matt, like the entire person.
Yeah,
Matt?
In a box. With a couple.
I like that idea. Matt just seems like. Like, I know I would have difficulty continuing to do this show if there was that much going on behind me. So I commend you for your ability to stay in that seat and continue
little,
doing the show.
I'm a little worried to go look in the shop after this.
You have
just
the patience
of the
Jesus.
Bandsaw.
Right, they're not like happy Jesus. Bandsaw sounds either. They're like scary bandsaw sounds.
Yeah.
That's the guide bearing rubbing.
The kind chatter tells you they're incredible.
Yeah, they're getting that whine that tells you someone's putting stress on the blade because they're turning it too much.
They're side-loading it. I can tell. Right. Someone's side-loading the blade. Yeah. I'm like,
Probably not even tensioned.
All right, let's get to Douglas's feedback here. He says, fantastic show. This is Matt's fault in episode 533. Good. Matt said that when building furniture for people who have asked you to make something off Etsy comes down to your ethics, he was completely wrong. It's down to... Do I want to deal with someone online or deal with someone I know and can talk to when there's an issue, or do I really want to have it shipped to New Zealand from the USA? It's all about your trust for people and your position in the world. I live in New Zealand, so yeah, if someone brings me a design that they found, I would build it hands down. Thanks for a great show, guys. Keep it up. Okay. Thanks for Douglas.
Fair enough.
I remember this at all.
I vaguely remember a discussion about building the ethical quandary of building someone else's design is kind of like a one-off.
Yeah.
No, we probably had that discussion multiple times on the show.
I think we have. And I think we may have said different things every time we've said it.
Every single time.
There's so much gray area there. So I completely agree with Douglas and I disagree with him at the same time.
Okay. Perfect. That's right on par.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. All right, this is from Mitch. Mitch says, I was in the market for a new dust extractor. I am not beholden to any one brand, so I just wanted something that worked for me. It was between the 3M extract because I already owned it. Like a second one?
So
whatever,
I'll
keep reading.
In the market for new one?
Maybe what's the second one? I don't know. Anyway, the Makita, the Bosch, and the Festool CT36. All pretty comparable as far as features, price, and overall specs. I already had the 3M extract sander, so I almost pulled the trigger, but I ended up with the Festool CT36. The biggest feature I liked was that I could store my Makita track saw inside a sustainer on top of the CT36, and also have my sander attached to the side of a sustainer. This means it all moves as one cohesive unit around my shop and is pretty cool. The other tipping point was the Festool was doing the Black Friday sale over at Festool Recon, and I got it for about $150 off. So in the end, I went with the Festool because it was cheaper, which is something no one ever says.
No one has said ever.
That's
well, good for
true.
You, man. That's great. All right, we got a voicemail kickback here from Alex.
Hey, Mark, Matt, and Shannon. This is Alex with Kickback from episode 559. I was the guy working on the game table. I originally wanted to make it knockdown because I had to find a way to fit it into my basement, and I didn't think I could do it without making it knockdown. But I was struggling to get the joints to line up for knockdown, and the zip bolts I ended up using weren't strong enough to pull everything into alignment the way I wanted to. So I ended up recutting my joints, making the table a little bit smaller, and now it fits in my basement. I did use dominoes to register everything, which is why I made the comment about no need for mortise and tenon. So now the top is just one piece. And the reason I said Matt was my favorite was because he's around the same age as me, and I just appreciate having another millennial woodworker to watch online and listen to on Wood Talk. Not that you, Mark and Shannon, aren't great. I just relate mostly to Matt. Thanks again for your help. Bye.
Ageist. Not, typical millennial wants to be in an great. Echo chamber. I get it. Old. It's fine. It's fine, Alex.
It's cool.
I'll be all right.
That's cool. I'm sure you will be.
It's cool. Now, the real question is, did you know about Wormwood without Mark? Because I certainly didn't before that game table project came along.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Well, either way, this is the funny thing about questions. It would be great to have a conversation because a lot of times we'll go off on a tangent and like, why do you say no mortise and tenon? What was mortise and tenon? It's like if he was there, he'd be like, no, I meant that because I have dominoes there. but we'll go off on a thing on it because it doesn't sound right.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? Why don't you use mortise and tenon? I believe one of the other times I got in trouble on the show was when I said you're not a woodworker unless you can cut a mortise and tenon. And we got all kinds of kickback that sounds on
like
that,
you.
Too.
Yeah,
it does sounds like something, like you. Something I would
that
say.
Sounds like, yeah, you're pretentious like
honestly,
that.
Honestly, so yeah. The only time I've ever gotten in trouble with people like on that level is when Shannon says something. You think it would be me, but it's not. It's usually Shannon.
But you know, as we just learned from Alex, it's because I'm old. I'm a curmudgeon. Yeah. So yep, yeah,
yeah.
I'm either writing letters
Gen
or
Xer.
You know, shouting at clouds. Get off my lawn.
Absolutely.
Old man shouts at cloud. Yeah.
Yep. Well, there you go. All right. Well, you know, speaking of mortise and tenon, you know, there's a place you can go to learn that stuff.
Really? I'll probably cut them for you if you go there.
They might.
Seriously.
From what we heard, you know what? Just bring your project plan. Don't even bring the wood because they probably have it there.
Oh, that's
and then just be like, can I
you
have
build this
table?
For me?
Yeah.
They're not doing anything anyways.
I mean, let's see how far this customer service goes.
Seriously.
Let us know.
Start at the Seattle Rockler. I hear that they do everything there. So
that's where I would go. Tell
someone,
and be sure
please
and,
try this.
Be sure and tell them Wood Talk sent you.
Please, Seattle listeners, please go to the Seattle Rockler. And actually, Alex, if you want to like send us an email, let us know if you remember the name of that employee. And then we can just have him cut right to the chase. Go
it's
right in.
Bob.
Ask for Bob. Yeah.
This reminds me of the extreme. Like, Shannon used to complain about people coming to the lumberyard with a cut list and just kind of expecting him to do all the picking and everything. Uh-huh. And it's like, this is the next level. This is, you go there and now you also are expected to build the project.
You just hand in the photograph off of Etsy, apparently, and say, here, build this for me.
Which, as we've covered, is perfectly ethical.
Uh-huh.
Right. You're fine.
Especially if you're in New Zealand.
Well, Rockler wants you to know about Project Inspiration. They got a lot of it there. If you're looking for some inspiration on your next project build, head to Rockler.com. You can find over 100 free step-by-step plans ranging from shop projects like an outfeed table designed by Matthew Cremona.
It's pretty sweet.
It is. To furniture for your house, like a dining room table. To giftable small projects, like a unique cutting board design. Rockler also shares how-to videos and woodworking tips so that you can create with confidence. And you can find a gallery with thousands of customer project images that provide even more inspiration. Find all this stuff at Rockler.com. Go check it out. It's good stuff over at Rockler. You think they're going to be upset about this thing that we just told people to do?
What, go to their store?
Probably not, actually.
I don't go think to their store and expect them to build something.
I know, because it's spun out of a great customer service story. And I think, honestly, like, I really hope somebody does it. Because if I were that employee, I think I could have a lot of fun with that.
We'll see how far they, like, go with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do you just get a leg done? Or like, will they help you cut the aprons? Like, how far would they take it? Before someone has to be like, you know, hey, this is a little too far, buddy.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Get out.
You do that crap, you go to the other Rockler.
Yeah.
Bother them.
They won't build it there either, but go to them anyway.
No, they won't.
The Canadian Rockler probably will, though. I mean,
they will.
Come on.
And they'll say
Canadian.
Sorry.
And they'll apologize.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Oh, sorry. Sorry. I'll do it faster. Sorry. Okay. So this is technically a dining table episode, but really loose format today. The only topic I wanted to add to this.
Like more than usual.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Has to do with Black Friday. And I was curious. I don't actually know. if Matt or Shannon took advantage of any Black Friday deals, but I did. I've been in the market for some tool swaps and a small tool addition. I wanted to get a second bandsaw ever since I moved. I didn't travel with any bandsaws. I sold everything in Denver, purchased the SCM soon after moving here, and I've been missing the smaller format saw, so I wanted something in that 14-inch range. And I wound up going for the Harvey. And the Harvey did have a Black Friday deal going on, or a holiday deal. And one of the things I noticed with Black Friday deals, I guess I haven't shopped for power tools in a long time, especially around Black Friday. The sales are pretty dumb. Like, not great. Like, no one's really doing more than maybe 10% at best.
Wow.
Agreed.
Worst part is that most of the time, there are better sales throughout the year. And I think that's like, you know, a company's entitled to charge what they want to charge when they want to charge it. But there is this kind of, at least in America, this expectation that the Black Friday deal or whatever price you're getting during that time frame generally is going to be the lowest price you're going to get for the year, with a few exceptions, right? Like, wouldn't you, isn't that kind of the expectation that happens here?
Yeah.
I would say yes.
I'm actually really glad you brought this up, because that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, I was totally unimpressed. Yeah. And not just woodworking, across the board. I know, Mark, you've got a pretty good thing at the guild going on. I can't remember what it is now. It was like 40% or something, right? Mm-hmm. Off of a project or upcoming projects or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to figure out what we were talking about. Yeah. Our sale was 40% off a single.
It's this online membership site.
You know, that school
you have?
It's got
the Wood Whisperer in front of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know what it is. What are you talking about?
When the empire has grown so big, you can't remember where the money comes from.
Just one of those businesses.
We'll hope to be there someday.
Look, I'm a sandpaper mogul now.
Oh, yes. So that's true.
Super busy.
He's moved on.
But actually, it's the people who create content and people who create plans and have their own merchandise. Those people had great sales, if that's what you're into. But if you're if you're doing a like power tool thing, I was just like, man, that is lackluster. And worse yet, I heard from so many people that there are other times where they had better prices throughout the year, whether it was like a Father's Day sale or like some other random holiday, the price was better. So I've been watching. I purchased a Harvey Ambassador C14. It's 14-inch bandsaw. I bought that. It was in that Black Friday range, right? So I'm assuming it's going to be a good price. But I have watched Harvey's pricing strategy on other things, and they're ridiculous. And it's funny to watch. But since then, I made the purchase. I felt pretty good about it because they keep pushing other sales. And I keep looking at the price going, well, that's actually higher. So I paid $14.39. That doesn't include shipping, just $14.39. And I've been watching it. Another sale comes in. I'm like, oh, how close is it? And I compare it to my order. It's like $15.50 or something like that. So I'm like, I'm still good. They haven't burned me yet.
Still good.
And then just as we started to record, I was just curious. Let me go to the website and see what it is. Now, I don't even see a mention of a sale, right? Mm-hmm. There's no sale mentioned here. It's now, today, $30 more expensive than what I paid for Black Friday. And there's no sale mentioned here. This is just the price today.
Just the regular price now?
$14.69. I paid $14.39.
Interesting.
Yeah. Right? So it's like the whole Black Friday thing, as far as power tools are concerned, just seems to be a non-issue. Like, I don't even know that I would wait for any kind of a Black Friday deal. Like, if you see a sale on any, you know, company, you go, okay, fine, go for it. But you're really not going to save a whole lot on Black Friday with these power tools.
I
would love to hear from the audience if anyone else had a really good deal.
Well, and usually there's usually a thread that pops up in the Hand Tool School community about stuff like this. And hand tools in general never really go that much on sale because there's so many boutique makers that just have like a dollar margin on their stuff.
Yeah.
But I actually discovered that like in many things, like just about everybody has some sort of like join our email list and get a X percent off or something. Mm-hmm. I actually found in many of the things that I bought in the cycling world and the woodworking world, you get a better deal any time of the year just by accepting that offer.
Yeah.
Or in many instances, like you're driven to a site through a podcast, like we drive people to Rockler, and like the deal you get there oftentimes is just better by punching in that podcast code, and you're giving attribution to that podcast, which is great too. But we were driving back. We went to some friends for Thanksgiving. We were driving back and we're driving on the interstate over the mall, and like the Best Buy and all the big boxes are there. This was Thanksgiving night and they were all closed, totally deserted. And I was just saying, do you remember when like people used to line up. It would be like 11 o'clock at night, and there'd be people camping out in front of Best Buy, especially.
Yeah. Oh, heck
and
yeah.
It just said, yeah. like, do
tenting.
Does anybody do that anymore? Is like, does brick and mortar still derive a large portion of their annual sales from Black Friday? And the conclusion was, I don't think so. Like, I don't think anybody really does doorbusters or when we open at 6 a.m. Maybe Walmart does. I don't know. But
they seem to have them. Like, I've seen mention of those kinds of sales. What actually happens at the store anymore? I don't know.
Yeah. But you definitely don't see like 50, 60% off type savings. And that used to be, you're right, that was the one day of the year you could go buy a, you know, back when flat screen TVs cost $9,000, you could get one for right. like $3,800,
yeah.
which was just unheard of. Of course, right. spending that much on a TV Flying now seems shelves. Unheard of, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I went to Lowe's on Black Friday, and it was only because I was doing something and I needed something from Lowe's. I forgot it was Black Friday. So I get there and I'm like, oh man, this is going to suck, but I'll just go in and see it. It was a normal day. It's a normal day. I did a return. And then I went and got the thing I needed and checked myself out. And that was the end of the story. Like, there was really nothing going on.
Nope.
Yeah.
Wasn't anything happening.
Very interesting. So, hey, as far as the audience is concerned, I'd love to hear any great Black Friday stories. We got one a little earlier. Who was it? Mitch? That seemed to get something. That was what Festool was doing. Is their
recon.
Yeah, their sales were like stuff being on the refurbed recon site. So I would love to hear anybody who actually got a legitimately good deal that surpasses any other deal that company might have through the year, or one that you better deal than you can get by signing up for texts.
Yeah,
exactly. I didn't buy anything. I bought nothing.
Nothing. Good. Well, Matt,
first year I could say that
because I said something about buying something, and it. What did I say? It's Black Friday. You said it's Black Friday every day when you have a business.
Oh yeah, it's right off expense. Yeah,
right.
It's true.
Yeah, you buy with your pre-tax money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it practically free at that point.
It doesn't mean practically free. It just means it's cheaper than like someone buying it with their W-2 money.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
That's the best discount I can get on these things, apparently. Okay.
It's a mentality thing. I'm saying like you're better off than most people. I just kind of remember.
Well, yes. Yes. In that case, I agree. But I still have to spend my money.
Yeah.
Yes. You do. You do. Yeah. Yes.
That part is still there.
You still have
but
to
you didn't pay taxes on the money first.
Yeah.
That's just, that's how that works.
Okay.
So thanks for the refresher. Works.
Thanks for the accounting lesson.
You're welcome. This has
Why
been
I
good.
Hire somebody to do it. I don't know anything about accounting. Okay. So Alex Adams, good buddy, friend of the show, always around, has great questions. He has
always
a question.
Around.
Always around.
It's good questions.
He's got a question about two shops, one woodworker. He says, now that I have moved most of my woodworking equipment out of my basement to an offsite location, I find myself missing the ability to pop downstairs and get some quick woodworking therapy. Since I can't physically move the original workbench to the new location, I'm planning on configuring the basement into a bare bones wood shop. The home basement will primarily be a hand tool shop, and the new offsite space will be more power tool focused. How do your home versus work shops compare, and what do you still want to change about one or the other? This might just pertain to me, guys. Like, you both have your shops accessible from home.
My workshop runs about 80,000 linear feet a day, so it's a very different type of shop.
I have the two buildings, I guess. I've got the barn and then the actual shop. So I got kind of this, I get some kind of situation like this.
Well, and you did have the remote building previously, where all the chair parts and stuff were, right? Which was a drive.
Yep.
So, I mean, maybe in put your head in that space for this kind of thing. Like,
I totally feel this, because like that's one of the things. Like, I do want to like actually get my shop out of the garage at some point, but I'm like, I kind of really like having it in there, because this is like I can pop in, grab whatever I need. I don't have to like walk outside to go anywhere and get anything, or like just pop in there and unclamp a glue up or do a glue up randomly whenever I want to. I really like the convenience of having it like as part of the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a thing. And I am doing that situation now where the shop, it's not that far away, but a 10-minute drive, you know, especially if it's at night. And I've mentioned that I'm like a big baby and I don't want to go there at night by myself if I don't have to, has gotten me to the point where I almost want two sets of tools. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, like, I'm doing I mentioned all the dovetail cutting I was doing. There was like, almost every single night, there's this lull that happens after dinner where the kids want a little bit more screen time. Nicole goes off and does something. I wash dishes, and then there's just time. And normally, when the shop is attached to the house, I would just go burn an hour in the shop and get just a little bit more work done. I can't do that now, and that's kind of frustrating. But what winds up happening to me, in spite of my best efforts to create almost a second shop, and especially with a bike that I would be, you know, maintenancing once in a while, and a kid's bikes, I want like a little workstation in my garage. I'm going to show you what my little workshop corner of the garage has turned into. The inevitable thing that happens with family life is that that is not even remotely an accessible space anymore because it's covered with empty holiday decoration bins, and I can't even get to it. So like, I wonder, maybe being
right
a,
there,
like, right. And that's where Nicole, she doesn't
open space. I'll just put that right there.
Yeah. Nicole doesn't throw things out. What she does is she opens the garage door and throws it into the garage, which is right in front of that little work area. So I have to move that first if I actually want to get any kind of work
done. Well, you know, to her credit, all those years she couldn't do that because it was a set and a workshop. So, you know, but cut the lady some slack. She finally has a garage.
She would throw cardboard into my shop like it was her job. Like just an empty Amazon box. I'd be in the middle of working and I'd see an empty box and a door shutting. It's like that was my experience there. So no, nothing has changed. The need to remove it has changed because I'm not working there. So for me, Alex, it is becoming a bit of a problem. I think as long as you have a dedicated space that isn't being used for other things, maybe in the basement, you got a better shot of that happening than a garage. It's really hard to maintain two separate spaces. And also realistically, are you going to bring projects back and forth, or are you going to have separate projects in two different places? That is a tough thing to maintain. So, I mean, I'd be curious to see how this works out for you. Definitely keep us updated on that.
Yeah, I don't think I could do the separate shop thing. Like that lull you're talking about, Mark, that's when I do my woodworking. Like that's like the only time I have lately. And I love that I can just go and like woodwork 15 minutes at a time. Because otherwise it would suck. And I'm always telling my students that, you know, if you're organized on a project and you're documenting it, that 15 minutes can go a really, really long way. And I've certainly wasted that 15 minutes very quickly. But yeah, if I had to get in the car and drive somewhere, it just wouldn't happen.
Or even like tidying up and cleaning, like just, I'm get that lull. I'm like, I'm going to go in the shop and just put stuff away.
Just turn on some music and straighten up a little bit. You're right. Yeah. I used to do that all the time.
Man. Yeah. Heck yeah.
But I'm not like when I go back tomorrow, my workbench is exactly as dirty as I left it when I left in a hurry because I had to get home for something. So
yeah.
Interesting. All right. So we got one more question here. I didn't put anybody's name to that. Who wants to read it?
I'll take it. Sure. Since I'm not building cabinets and you both are looking at them. So, this is from Alfred the Human Pusey. He's the human. I'm guessing that means something to him.
I think he was a Patreon contributor. He mentions that.
Oh, okay.
That was like two episodes ago.
Yeah.
Three episodes ago.
Feels significant, but. He says, for painted cabinets, what filler do you suggest to use in the corners that maybe weren't perfect or happened to align with gaps or knots? I had this happen recently on a coffin-shaped shelf I made for my uber-goth neighbor. Tried a few and didn't find one I felt worked clean enough.
Capitalized Uber. Does a person work for Uber, drive for Uber Eats?
Or is there what kind of reviews does the goth Uber driver get? Do people leave feeling he was really
very
pleasant
depressing.
Or actually maybe surprisingly pleasant because the first impression was, oh boy, maybe I don't want this. Maybe
wore
that
too much makeup, looked too pale.
You never know.
Wore too much black.
Never know. I don't know about you guys, but I very rarely use filler. Not that I don't make mistakes. I just usually
ignore them.
Well, sometimes, yeah.
Right?
I mean, to be fair.
It's an art form.
If it's big enough, I usually use like solid wood. I put like little wedges in and things like that. I'm not a, you know, spackle it on, sand it back type person. And also, I mean, there's some that don't interfere with finishes at all, but most of them do. So I usually use real wood more than anything else. Do you guys have any experience with filler?
Well, for painted projects, why not? Like it's easy enough to fix. It'll fill a gap and make it look just fine. So for me, I've always used TimberMate wood filler. Stuff is great. Dries quick, water-based. It dries up in the bottle. Just put a little water in there. you know, go away for 20 minutes, come back, and it's all softened. So I've always had good luck with that, and that's all I ever use.
I'm using Ready Patch on all my stuff, and I put filler on every butt joint. Because any little seam that is there you can't even see normally, if it was like a stain project, will telegraph through the paint, and you'll have a line there that's visible after it's painted, at least on the stuff I'm doing. So I learned that lesson early on. Doesn't matter how perfect it looks. Just put some filler on it before you do your final sanding and sand it all flush. And at least then you'll have less chance of seeing any sort of seam line between your two parts.
Nice.
Good to know.
Sounds good.
He has a second question here. It's kind of interesting. He says, related to the social media thing, what do you say to people that insist you can't be successful without a YouTube channel? I'm assuming he means successful as in like as a woodworker.
I think so. Yeah. Because if you want to be successful as a YouTuber without a YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's hard.
You
to
might
do.
Have a problem.
That'd be challenging. Yes.
He says, it's really disheartening when people say that. I have a friend who, for a time, was a furniture maker who saw greener pastures and other business, whose first comment when I told him was, better get your social media going and learn to make videos. It's the only way to make money nowadays. Look at XYZ channels. It's one of those things where I wonder, is it true for you because you were unsuccessful or true in a greater sense? I just don't know how to politely respond to those sorts of things. Love the show and the channels. Thanks for being rad. Nice. Child of the 80s right there. I think it's a really good question. And it's funny that to me, it's always been the opposite. I mean, so I guess he's right. Like you had a channel because you were unsuccessful. The most successful furniture makers I know, they have social media because somebody told them you should do this, but like they totally neglect it. Most of them don't have YouTube channels. Maybe they play on Instagram and, you know, their last post was like 3 weeks ago, if you're lucky.
Right.
Because they're busy making furniture.
They're busy doing things.
Yeah, so I think in many instances, you might find you're unsuccessful because you're devoting time to your social media. I really don't think, and I could be wrong here, but I really don't think YouTube or Instagram, for that matter, drives furniture customers. Maybe Instagram in some respects, if you're posting a lot of your pictures, but not like the reels and things like that. You know, if I'm looking to buy furniture, I want to see pictures of furniture. And frankly, I'm probably not using Instagram as a search. I'd be using Google for that. Maybe, you know, yeah, probably entirely Google image searches and things like that. But I'm not going to be, and I realize YouTube is one of the top search engines, depending on how you slice the data. It is the top search engine, but I'm not using that. And most of the people,
not for shopping necessarily, right?
No. And I can tell you, I've got customers who are furniture makers, and customers of those customers, they don't use YouTube for this type of thing. So it's always been like the fellow woodworkers, you know, and DIYers and things like that, that are consuming the content. So yeah, I wouldn't be disheartened. I would just say, I ain't got time for that. I'm building.
Yeah. I mean, my experience with this is old at this point. And I don't know how relevant it is, but we had a similar thought process. We were like, okay, I want to build furniture. I want clients. What's the best way to get the word out? It's like, okay, well, let's start making videos and we'll show people how it's done. I learned, this is 2006, I learned back then that making videos was a great way to find other woodworkers, not to find customers. So I'm not saying that there aren't people who will find, you know, thread that needle and find success in using social media and YouTube to generate local, actual local business. But that definitely, I don't think, is a foregone conclusion that you should or that you have to. I think what the problem is if you're looking for examples, you may not find them because those people are real busy doing other crap and not making videos and posts on Instagram. So I think if you're looking at other channels as examples, you know, that's not exactly going to be a fair analysis. Because you're looking at channels for examples. What you need to do is try to find local folks who are actually making this thing go. You probably won't necessarily find them online. Or if you do, they're like, it's a very small presence. It's like Shannon was saying, they can maybe use it as an online portfolio of sorts. There have to be tons of examples of people who are successfully doing this without the aid of those things. Now, do I think you should at least consider it? Yeah. I mean, why not? It could potentially bring a new customer, but I don't know that you want to put so much effort into it that it takes away from the tangible real life stuff that you're doing. Right.
Yeah.
Because that stuff will, if you get too distracted with that, you know, I always use Philip Morley as an example of this, someone who has had struggles with this. He's had success on social media, and at different times, it may or may not have brought him business, but ultimately, he came to realize that it's taking away from his ability to be a furniture maker, and he has to pull back from that, because it's in and of itself, it's its own rabbit hole that's a bit of a trap, and you start to chase the numbers, and you start to get so deep into that stuff that it distracts you from your ultimate goal. Right. So yeah. I think it has to be taken on a case by case basis, but I don't think your friend is 100% right.
I think social media, and especially the visual platforms like Instagram, are great online portfolio that are infinitely more findable than your own website. Like, you know, yeah. Joe, well, I was going to say joewoodworker.com, but that's actually a great website for veneer supplies.
A website.
but
also, you know, ironically, so is Veneer Supplies, owned by the same person.
Right, same guy, yeah. Who ironically is located about 15 minutes from me, but you cannot go in there. And I have order online. Yeah, he's in Forest Hill, Maryland. I can ride my bike there in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I ride by the warehouse all the time, but it's like a strictly do not go in there. You know, he ships everything to me.
My kind of guy. I like that.
I get stuff the next day.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I get it.
You know, if you have a website, you know, stevewoodworker.com, like the chances of being found on Google these days, I mean, there's a lot more that you're probably going to want to put into it, talking about a rabbit hole to get sucked down. Mm. But like posting your projects, your finished pieces on an Instagram account, if nothing else, it's a great way to a potential customer to say, check out my Instagram account.
Yeah,
put it on because they already have the app probably on their phone instead of having to type in a web address or something like that. And honestly, I found a lot of great woodworkers, great furniture makers on Instagram, because of course the algorithm is feeding me stuff. Sometimes it actually feeds me stuff I want. Instagram is one of the better ones about that. Well, not so much lately.
if I go into mine, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to see dogs and boobs.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'll take the dogs though.
They each has their place.
I mean, the boobs are fine. It's just not appropriate. And I don't want to see it when I open up Instagram.
Right. Especially dog boobs. Not a big fan of those. But
my dog's got plenty.
But I followed a lot of people who, frankly, as a woodworker, I'm just inspired by their stuff. And when I look at their channel, like that's all they're doing. They're not putting out reels. There's no face to camera. It's just pictures of things that they built. And occasionally they'll, you know, the text will be something like, you know, just delivered this to, you know, so-and-so somewhere or whatever. But there are people certainly using it. And it's a lot of my customers, they point to their Instagram as their portfolio. And yeah, they have it somewhere on the website, but most of the time they'll tell you, I don't have time to update the website, or I've got a guy, or I don't really know how to do that, or I haven't updated it in months, but I keep my Instagram up to date because it's easy to snap a picture and put it out there. So I would definitely suggest don't ignore social media, but I certainly would ignore YouTube in that capacity.
And there are so many companies that I'll either do business with, or I'm interested in their products, or, you know, especially getting more into cycling, I'll find a company that just has really cool products. I want to know more about it. And I go to social media to possibly follow them. And then occasionally I am surprised that this very successful company that puts almost zero effort into, like, they may have gotten a name so that they've secured it, but then they do nothing with it. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. It's just for what the kind of business that they do, it just doesn't help them that much. It doesn't make any sense. The more local the business is, it seems like the more they might be able to get away with it, but still there would be benefits locally, certainly. And there are certain hashtags that might be really helpful on a local level. But I think if you do a lot of in-person local business and not a lot of internet business, you have a better chance, I think, of surviving that without the social media element. But it's tricky. I mean, you need concrete examples here to help with that. But all three of us are focused online, so we might have a skewed perspective. I don't know. What do you think, Matt? You've been quiet.
I think it's just the bigger picture is your marketing plan of your business. That's kind of what you're kind of alluding to with this whole thing, with this whole question. So it really comes down to what do you think your marketing plan should be for whatever it's you're trying to build and sell. A coffin-shaped shelf. So if you're planning on doing like smaller trinkety items like that, I think social media is actually more important, more valuable for that style of product, because it's a little more of a slightly more impulse buy than like high-end custom furniture where you're spending tens of thousands of dollars or thousands of dollars versus maybe hundreds of dollars. You're in a kind of a slightly different playing field. You're targeting different people than the folks that are going to want to buy a custom piece of furniture. So I would say that social media would be way more important for this type of business, assuming that's what you're planning on selling, than like a furniture maker, for instance. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of success in the people that on social media doing these smaller things, is they figure out a way to really make that thing they're making, that they're telling a story of making these fun small things, and do a really good job of it, and they find a lot of success driving sales, even direct in-app sales as well, because you're in the area of maybe an impulse buy. You can use the app's shopping features now to actually sell your products in-app without having to send them to your website or somewhere else to buy your stuff. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's all about finding that funnel for you, which is going to work for your business, and then really nailing the marketing strategy and bringing them down that funnel.
Sort of like the Etsy store people that just are doing things that can be mailed.
I'm thinking like the people that do like TikTok shop right now that have a really, that like they're driving people through TikTok selling whatever that is for like $20 to $100. I mean, TikTok is really promoting that stuff right now because they really want that shopping thing to take off. So the people that are actually using it now are, it's incredible how much success they're finding, and they bring the audience into the storytelling of, holy crap, look at my label printer. It's like printing crap out for 3 hours, and then let me package all your stuff and make all your stuff. And then the ones that are doing it even further than that, they actually take some random order for the day, say this is the order number, and they'll actually make a video packing that order. So mm-hmm. you can bring your customer into the whole experience behind the curtain, so to speak, and make them a lot more involved. If that works, that style of business.
Yeah.
It depends on the business. But it's really cool watching these people that are like, oh, this is really cool. This from like, I don't really have an interest in doing that personally, but it's like, it's just so cool. They're like, okay, I said, there's this new tool. I can really take advantage of it, figure out how it works, figure out how to tailor my content to find the audience that will actually buy the thing, and then just watch it all just kind of flow through.
Well, and Instagram has store features now too, right? I know they have like a Shopify integration.
Yep. And YouTube has that as well. They have, YouTube has that Shopify integration too.
Yeah, I think because our sandpaper was on Shopify, just to keep it as a standalone thing, mm-hmm. I've like been able to dabble in some of those integrations that are pretty cool. Yeah, I mean,
Now the platforms are trying to get people to stay on platform. So before you were sending them off platform to go shopping, now you can stay on platform and do the shopping. So it's just all about keeping the user on platform.
Eesh. Fun stuff.
It's the phenomenon known as click zero. What's your click-through rate? Nothing.
I got nothing.
Google's keeping all the purchases on the SERP, and the platforms are keeping them in platform. And
wonderful.
I think there's something to be said too, because there's a lot of people who like, you know, there's this constant undercurrent of support small, you know, and everybody even feels good about buying from a small business. And I think the more that, like Matt's saying, you can tell that story and look, you know, I'm a small business and thank you so much. This is actually working. You guys are great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'll tell you, I've done a fair amount of Christmas shopping without leaving Instagram. Like some of the little impulse things that have popped up, they're like, that's cool. Like it's totally got my number at this point. Like, and I'm
resistant to things. That. Like I will get the idea. Ads will work on me, both Facebook and Instagram. I really don't like making purchases through an app. I like to be on the company's website. I want to register an account. I don't want to use a single sign-on from Apple or whatever. Like, I want to have complete control so that if anything goes wrong with the sale, registration of warranty, all that stuff is easier.
I ain't going anywhere. One click.
In every instance.
You just want to one click it, huh?
Yep. That's it. I want to buy it. So why do I got to spend 3 hours typing in my address? I really want it. I'm going to order it.
Sure. No, I'll do Apple Pay, like streamline on their website. I just don't want to buy anything through a Facebook store or an Instagram store. No, thank you. But I'm an old Gen Xer. What are you going to do?
You are old. Jeez.
Well, it becomes a problem if you need like warranty stuff and you've done things through a different store, being able to track your orders on their website. That kind of thing becomes problematic sometimes depending on where you purchased and how you purchased it. It's just easier if you just go to the website. You know, you always have an account. This is so not relevant to this show, but let's after we stop recording, talk for another half hour about this.
Okay, perfect.
I just love that Marx thinks that there's an actual theme that we're supposed to stick to. Like that, that the show has ever been anything but irrelevant conversations.
It's a great illusion that I live my life by.
It really is.
All right. Well, family owned since 1954, Rockler is your go-to source for high quality and innovative woodworking tools, finishing supplies, hardware, lumber, and expert advice. Whether you're building a simple bookshelf, a custom desk, or new kitchen cabinets, Rockler has everything you need to make your next project a success. Visit Rockler.com and use the code WOODTALK, all one word, to receive free shipping on most orders over $49. And remember to head to Rockler.com/WOODTALK to enter for your chance to win a $250 gift card.
Hooray, Rockler. Well, that brings us, gentlemen, to the close of another year of Wood Talk.
So, yes, last show really? Of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Merry New Year and Happy Christmas and Kwanzaa and Festivus and all that stuff. And for those sickos out there who listened for 26,000 hours, however much it was a lot.
You wackos!
26,000.
I think it was minutes.
Minutes, not hours. Minutes, not hours. If there are 20, they're real wackos who listen 26,000 hours. But we thank you for supporting the show. We thank you for, you know, putting up with us. It's been a fun year. So, you know, we look forward to continuing it in 2024. So keep those questions coming. Go to woodtalkshow.com.
Actually, I mean, this is inside baseball. You guys are hearing this when it's released, but I'm looking at the calendar going, well, we got to release a show on the 13th. And then the only thing left is the 20th, because the next one after that is after Christmas.
Yeah.
And this would, you know, we're talking about Christmas, so we got to release this before Christmas. So two weeks in a row, we're going to do a show, but then we'll see you again in January.
Yeah.
Yay.
So send in the questions. We'll talk about them in January or May or
whatever.
You never know. You should see how many. I feel so bad doing this, but when I go into the email box for Wood Talk, sometimes I got to clean it up. Like, we're not paying for like a higher rate on Gmail or anything for extra storage. I just want to keep the old stuff, just keep it flowing, right? All new emails. I had to delete so many old emails, and I feel bad. But it's all stuff, like, I had emails back from 2021 sitting in there.
I mean,
just pages and pages.
And to be honest, I never click past page one. Like,
that's the thing. When we grab questions, we grab recent questions.
Because there's a lot on page one. So it's like, why do I need to, like, click through? Yeah. So sorry, folks,
to anyone who emails this show and we can't get to your question. As you can see, we only answer a few per show. It's just physically impossible to get to them all, but I appreciate your writing them. It's just a shame we can't answer them all.
And if you still have that project on the bench that you needed help on in 2021, send the question in again.
You never know, man. Hobby woodworkers sometimes, right? They take a long time to get a project done.
I embody that statement right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
I just start more projects. I don't actually finish them.
You don't even wait to finish.
Just
so excited about the next one.
Yeah. Pretty much.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody, and we will catch you next year.
Bye-bye.
Oh, goodbye. Oh, well. Okay, then.
Changing it up.
Get over there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.